Brethren, I think we would all agree that we're living in very troubled times. There are some key verses, I think, that really tell us why we are where we are in that situation. I'd like to start with Romans 1, verse 20, which is a very popular scripture. Romans 1, starting in verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because even though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. It seems so obvious that we have seen all that God has made. We're part of it. You know, we're part of this creation. And to see that all this around us and not really realize what's happened is really kind of incredible. We've come to see the incredible design, really far beyond what we can imagine, of the design of the human body and this environment that's been made for us, just perfect in every way. So it really, to me, is incredible that people can't see it, but there is a reason for that. And that blindness really is also from God. I'd like to turn to Isaiah 29. Isaiah 29, starting in verse 13. Therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their hearts or with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandments of men. Therefore, behold, I will again do a marvelous work among this people, a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise shall perish, and the understanding of the prudent men shall be hidden. So it really is a marvelous thing that God is doing, that he has blinded, really, mankind. Another scripture is in Matthew 13. Matthew 13, starting in verse 13. And here the apostles had asked Jesus why he spoke in parables. He said, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. For in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. So it is actually part of God's plan that this world at this time really should be blind. And it's blind so that man can really see what the world is like without God. We're going our own way, and seeing the result of going our own way. And as Christ said in Matthew 15, verse 14, we're all going to fall into the ditch. This mankind is going our own way. And then when God shows us God's way versus man's way, it's going to be such a fantastic enlightenment that will be the lesson. So as a result, the world really seems to be closing in on us. And we're looking for some very terrifying times that are coming as man goes his own way. We've read many times Matthew 24, but I'll turn there again. Matthew 24, starting in verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world unto this time, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So God does promise protection. We've read many times in Psalm 91. I'm going to read a bit more of that. Psalm 91, starting in verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers. And this reminds me of what Christ said about Jerusalem. He wanted to take the people under his wings like a mother hen would, but they would not. And that's really what's happening. God wants to cover us if we're willing. And under His wings you shall take refuge, and His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. So we're going to see these things happen. We're going to see all these people killed all around us. You shall see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near you, for He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways, and His hand shall bear you up. Well, you can read more of that, but there is going to be death and destruction around, and we're going to see that, and it's going to be a very difficult time, and it's going to be hard not to really be engulfed by fear when we see all of this happen. So staying close to God really is something we have to maintain. And we're told so often that staying close to God requires prayer and Bible study, and these certainly are of utmost importance. But I think there's something really that also is of utmost importance and a mental tool that we need to be making use of, and that tool is thankfulness. Well, that leads me to my title for today, Thankfulness in Troubled Times. You know, it's hard to be negative when we're truly thankful, no matter what's going on around us, if we can maintain a thankful attitude. We can maintain ourselves through this time. So thankfulness is an important defense among many problems. There was a recent study at a university involving about 300 adults that were undergoing mental health counseling for depression and anxiety problems. One segment of the group was given an extra assignment to write one letter of gratitude each week to someone. At the end of the counseling, this group that wrote the counseling letters or the gratitude letters showed really a significant improvement compared to the rest of the group. So thankfulness does really have an effect on our minds, and it's an important tool. So considering what God has given us and what He's doing for us, I think it's hard really not to be thankful for God. And I made up a little list of things here. I encourage you all to do the same. Now, things we can be and should be thankful to God for. Number one, God is there. You know, when I start my prayer in the morning, I generally start by just thanking God that He's there, that He is who He is. You know, if God wasn't there, there'd be nothing. We wouldn't be here. There'd be no life, no world, no creation. Acts 17. Starting in verse 24. God, who made the world and everything in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in the temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives life to all and life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from any of us, from one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. So God is the source of life. He is the source of everything. And without God, there'd be nothing. God is in control. I think that's very important. If he wasn't, be a pretty pitiful existence we'd have to look forward to. So God is in control. I'd like to turn to Psalm 135. Psalm 35, verse 6. Wherefore, whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and in earth, in the sea and in all the deep places. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightnings for the rain. He brings the wind out of his treasures. So, again, he has all power. I'd like to turn to, God was in control, and God is all-powerful is my next point here, and I'd like to turn to Job. I think it was made quite clear when God was talking to Job in Job 36. Let's see. Where am I at here? Okay, Job 36, starting in verse 22. Behold, God is exalted by his power. Who teaches him? Who has assigned him his way? Or who has said, have you done wrong? And skipping down to 38, verse 1. Job 38, verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding, and who determines its measurements? Surely you should know, and who stretched out the line upon it? To what were its foundations fashioned, or who laid the cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? So God made the world and everything in it. He has all powerful. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you shall be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So God is all-powerful, and that power is available to help us when we're in need. How about life? I read Acts 17, where God is there. He gives us life. So we need to be thankful for our physical life. God has given it to us, but we have to realize it's just a necessary step, really, toward God's kingdom. It's a necessary step in our education. I think we, as human beings, sometimes put a little bit too much confidence in physical life, because again, physical life was designed to be a temporary phase. You know, that God says we're like a flower that fades and we're gone. We're given a certain number of years. And eternal life really is the goal. And this physical life really is a step toward that. Another thing to be thankful for is God's Spirit. God gives His Spirit to teach us. Luke 11. Starting in verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will not find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who seeks receives, and he who seeks finds. To him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread of any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a serpent or a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask Him? And you might turn to John 14. John 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So God's Spirit really does two things. My next two topics here is knowledge and truth. God's Spirit gives us knowledge. Proverbs 1 and verse 7. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise those, despise wisdom and instruction. And in over in Proverbs 2, starting in verse 9, 6 through 9, Proverbs 2, 6 through 9, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright and is a shield to those who are to walk uprightly. He guards the path of the just, paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and judgments, equity and every good thing. So God, through the Holy Spirit, provides knowledge, just as he said, that the Holy Spirit can open our minds to things that the spirit of man really can't see. And truth, God's Spirit opens up truth to us. John 8. John 8, verse 31, Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So the Holy Spirit can set us free from all the falseness, all the false doctrines of this world. And over in John 16, John 16, verse 13, however, when he, or it, the Spirit of truth, has come, it will guide you into all truth. For it will not speak in its own authority, but it will, whatever it hears, it will speak, and it will tell you things to come. So God's Spirit that he gives us in our minds really can give us things that we wouldn't have otherwise. Protection is another point we need to be thankful for, that God does provide protection. And I read some from Psalm 91, but let's look at Psalm 34. Psalm 34, starting in verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angels of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him. So there is another side to God's protection, because God does allow us to go through trials, and sometimes very severe, and only God really knows how severe a trial needs to be to teach us the things that he knows that we need to learn. You know, God gave a very severe trial to Abraham. He told him to sacrifice his only son, and at the very end, God intervened, but at the very end. So he had plans for Abraham, what he wanted Abraham to accomplish, and God knew he required that amount of a trial to the very end. But God does provide trials. God is not going to make a spirit being out of someone that's going to be a spoiled brat. So trials are important. So trials really are something to be thankful for. I'd like to turn to Hebrews 12. Starting in verse 5, and have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons? My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then are you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers, human fathers, who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? There was a professor at Carnegie Mellon University, Randy Pausch, and he gave a lecture which became sort of filled the internet. And the title was The Last Lecture. And the theme was, if you had one last lecture to give before you died, what would it be? And it was fitting in this case, because he was dying of cancer and had only a short time to live. But in the lecture, he talked about his childhood dreams, and one was to play in the National Football League. Well, in college, the football was hard for him. An assistant coach came over to him one time and said, "Coach Graham rode you pretty hard, didn't he? It's a good thing. If you're screwing up and he didn't say anything, this means he's given up on you." So, yeah. If we're not having trials, that means something's wrong. So we need to be thankful for our trials as well. I think God has been very gentle with me so far, which is kind of worries me sometimes, because he knows what I need to go through. I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. No temptation has overcome you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Well, I witnessed this, I think, several times, many times in my life, that I've had trials that have come and things just work out. And I've had a definite feeling that someone was watching out for me spiritually. The scripture I like is in Hebrews. Hebrews 1, verses 13 and 14. Hebrews 1, verse 13. But which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who inherit salvation? So I do believe in guardian angels. I think I've had really the feeling many times that someone was watching over me. I've pondered it many times. Even when I was an ornery little kid, I had that feeling. And when I became an ornery adult, I still had that feeling. And I'm kind of wondering, you know, just how God appoints spirits, angels, to watch over us. And I hope someday maybe even to meet the angel that may have been watching over me at times. And it might be kind of embarrassing, you know, to find out, you know, what I did and how we intervened. But anyway, it's something to be thankful for, because it does really appear that God is watching out for us and is appointing angels to watch over us. Well, society has really forgotten how to be thankful for God, but we can't be. You can't be a Christian really and not be thankful. And it's something we just can't let slip. As Christians, we have so many things to be thankful for. One scripture here is Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, starting in verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, here Paul is speaking of all people, what he went through. He was shipwrecked 3 times, stoned, beaten with rods 5 times, 40 stripes save one, chased from city to city, you know, all these trials. And still he says, be thankful for all things at all times. I think we could maybe cap this off in Psalm 107. Psalm 107, verse 8. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for all his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. You know, someday everyone will know God and will be truly thankful. In the meantime, being thankful to God, I think, is a tool that we really have to make use of as we see these times coming ahead that are going to really be a trial for us. And we have to make it through. And I think as we maintain a thankfulness to God, we can make through these times and really anything that comes.